This is a replay of the Wednesday night, July 22nd WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday, evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine, providing there's nothing important or socially significant about it, that is. And play your requests as well. Got 11 of them lined up for tonight already. All right, so a variety of things, but before we get to the unfortunate recalls, well, yeah, might be unfortunate in some cases for you. We'll get there. But Rita in Harwood Heights had an incident today, so let's find out the details. Rita, how are you doing?
I'm not doing so well right now. I'm just so upset.
Tell me about this.
I live in a very ethnic area. I'm not prejudiced at all. And I had to use a laundromat because I don't have laundry here at my house. And so I went to the laundromat today, and I'm very disabled. I can't use my left arm, and I use a cane on the right hand. And I was unloading the back seat of my car of laundry bags and trying to figure out what I could manage to do today or not. And so I had these bags on the concrete and that I was lifting out of the back seat of the car. And this one lady came out, and she was had already loaded up the trunk of her car. She was all finished. And she asked if she could help me. So I said, yeah, well, I do need help. So she lifted all my bags and took them into the laundromat for me. And then she put them on a chair, and it was really nice, but I wanted to see where she put them. So I quickly tried to hobble into the laundromat, and I saw them on the chair, and then I came back, and then I locked up my car. I did not notice that my purse was no longer there.
Oh, man.
And my purse had been stolen, and I don't know if it was from her or there was an ethnic family that came in after that and walked out. And then there was an Asian couple, and they had a whole lot of laundry. But, you know, I'm not afraid of any of the people, and I'm friendly with everybody.
Right, and their ethnicity is irrelevant at this point. We don't know who did what to whom. We just know your purse is missing.
They had everything in there.
No, I know. So let's parse this. Let's forget about laying blame at this point. It could be absolutely anything. Now, the first question, of course, is it possible? I'm sure you looked everywhere in the bags that were left in, around your car and the floor and the ground and all that, right?
The police and I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're positive it's gone. Okay. You filed a police report. That's good. Now, hopefully you have copies of whatever was in your wallet, this is not good. How many credit cards did you have in your wallet?
I just had one credit card.
Okay.
I just one credit card.
All right.
But I had just had a birthday.
Yeah.
So I just had my brand new driver's license.
All right. Unfortunately,
I kept the paper copy.
Yeah, let's do this one at a time, all right? So the first thing is that credit card, since there's only one, that's good. Have you called already to tell them it's been stolen?
Yes.
Okay.
They said 5 to 7 days it would be replaced.
And that's fine. Okay, so you're not responsible for anything after this. So you have absolutely no financial problem with that credit card. Now, did you have a debit card?
No,
thank
I don't believe
God.
It.
I don't either. No. As long as you don't have a debit card or one of those ATM cards, I'm very glad to hear that. All right.
I had a checkbook, though.
We had a checkbook. Well, and so that's possibly problematic, but not as problematic as a debit card would be. It's not as easy to duplicate, but it can be done.
Right.
All right. So now you've got your driver's license, and that's good because you just have the paper copy of a receipt. Your actual driver's license is going to be mailed to you separately, correct?
Well, I have to go down to the DMV.
Okay.
And you always have to have an appointment now, but I'm just going to go there tomorrow and see if I can get in.
Okay. Now, what else was in your wallet? Did you have insurance cards in your wallet?
Oh, yes. I had all my Medicare.
Okay.
I don't have Medicaid, but I have Medicare,
and
Social Security.
Wait a minute.
State card.
Wait a minute. You actually have a card with your Social Security number on it that you carry? No,
tell me no. Well, apparently.
Tell me no. All right.
I don't think that I have the one that has my number on it.
Well, that's the only card. That's the only card from Social Security you'd get. Your Medicare card is no longer your Social Security number. All right. I'm hoping you didn't have a Social Security card in there. And there's very little we can do if you did, because the Social Security Administration will not give you a new number. All right. Your Medicare card. Did you have a Medicare supplement? Like a Medigap.
Like
okay.
Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Okay, fine. Well, you probably want to notify them that you've had an incident and your card was stolen and you need them to issue you a new number.
Okay.
And as far as Medicare, that's probably true as well, but you know, the government being the government, I'm not sure how it works. All right. You had car insurance cards in there too, I'm sure.
Right, and I had a lot of things that were deductibles every month.
Explain.
Well, a lot of my bills, like the gas bill, the light bill, and all that stuff.
Right, but none
insurances.
None
came out of my.
Yeah, absolutely, but none of that stuff was in your purse, was it? Like the gas bill account number and all that. None of that was there.
No.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
Right. So we're not particularly worried about that. You know, depending, you can go to your bank and change bank account numbers. Now, the problem is you're going to have to notify all those people that are using their direct withdrawals for your bills. Because, but it may be worth it. That I don't know. I discussed that with your bank. The bank actually is probably the weakest link here, because if you have fraud, they do not have to make you whole, unlike the credit card companies. So it might be worth your time to change the account numbers, since you had the checkbook in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then just go through. Just I know it's a pain, but this is where we are right now. This is all we care about at the moment, because it's the most important part of this in terms of stopping anything from happening as much as you can. So that's my concentration. Think hard about everything that was in your wallet, and then notify people. In some cases, change numbers, and probably it would be a good idea to change your bank account numbers since you have a checkbook, and of course on your checks they have the routing number and your account number.
Right.
So I would, if it were me, I'd probably take that step.
Okay.
But you know, you can go to the bank.
I'm going to go to the bank tomorrow.
Yes, you are.
I'll go to the DMV.
Right. Right. And the other stuff, like the Blue Shield companion plan, you can call them.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And anything else you can think of. I don't think, let's say you had your car insurance there. I don't think there's very much they could do with that, but you might call your agent anyway, because
I have to call the agent, because
you need replacement cards.
My car has not been fixed yet. And I had that accident on May 22nd here at Oquito in Lawrence. That lady ran into me and crushed my shoulder.
Well, that will.
So I have to notify them.
Right, that will proceed regardless. But yes, you want to notify everybody you can think of, and that's where that's where your attention should be, making yourself whole, making sure that nobody can use this as a way. And the bank account, I'd go to the bank first if it were me.
mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm very sorry this happens, and it is very frustrating and disappointing. And the bottom line, though, for anybody who is listening and for you in the future, always make copies of everything you've got in your wallet. So you've got that at home.
That was my plan.
Yeah,
We've got a good library here, and that was on my list of things to do.
Well, now you will do it. Now you will do it.
Now I will do it, yes.
Yes, yes. But for anybody else who hasn't had this misfortune of yet, especially if you've got a copier with a printer with a copy function, just take everything out of that wallet and make copies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's the only part of this that's a problem. Did you lose a phone?
No, I had my cell phone. Okay, I don't have a regular cell phone. I just have this little flip phone.
That's fine.
And it's ancient. It's very, very old. I don't get voicemail with it at all.
Well, that's all right. And, but you didn't lose it, so that's good.
No, I had it in my pouch. I had a hoodie on that had a pouch, a kangaroo pouch. So I had it in there.
Was there anything else in your purse that would be identifying information?
Well, I had a bottle there. I think it may have had a label on it, but it was empty of regular medicine. But I kept that empty bottle, and I put some extra pain type of medication.
Yeah, I doubt anybody can do anything with the prescription, because the bottle probably has.
And then
has
I had my inhaler.
Which is unfortunate, but again, inert in terms of causing you any damage that way. Yeah, mm-hmm. Obviously it's a pain to have to get another one, but you don't have to worry about stopping a loss with that. What else?
Yeah. And then, of course, I don't keep a wallet anymore.
Okay.
Because I had been attacked and beaten up and robbed when I was working at Mount Sinai. My wallet was taken there, so I never carry a wallet at all anymore.
Did you?
I keep money in an envelope.
Fine.
I did have money in an envelope.
Yeah, right, and you're going to lose the money, unfortunately, most likely, and that's a shame. But again, that's not anything we can do anything about. Now, did you have anywhere in any of these compartments a house key or any keys?
No.
Thank God. All right.
No.
So we don't have to worry about that. So, the likelihood that someone's going to look on your driver's license and see your home address and come and rob you is very, very slim. I wouldn't be worrying about that. But the other things we've talked about, you've got to get right away.
Mm-hmm.
And focus on that and just making yourself safe, and also what you're going to do in the future about making copies of everything in the wallet and all that kind of thing, and you'll be fine. It's disappointing. I'm sorry it's a loss, and yes, it's a loss of the inhaler. Replacing that is expensive, and then, of course, the money that you lost is gone forever, but at least we're not going to be looking at something, especially if you get to the bank, and if they say, oh, you don't have to close that account, argue with them. Say no. Because if someone is going to draw something from it, they legally, unlike credit cards, they legally don't have to reimburse you.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't.
Well, I also had a little green book there. What? A little note type of book, that had so many different things.
Well, let's talk about that. Was there anything in it that was personally identifiable that could be used in any way?
I don't know anybody but myself, because they had, the grass cutter people. Their number. I don't have their number anywhere else. And then.
Yeah, we don't care about that.
And the blood control people, all that type of thing.
Yeah. Okay. So none of that's problematic. And it's not like you had a list of the home phone numbers of every television anchor in town or anything like that. So
phone numbers.
Yeah, right. But
I did have some personal
not numbers that people are going to recognize, I say this because once upon a time in Los Angeles, I left my phone book at LAX right there at the payphone. And man, it was a who's who of Hollywood. Oh, God. Mm. And I actually got it back. A pilot. A pilot actually found me and, flew for something like Air Micronesia and said, I wanted to track you down because of all these interesting numbers in your phone book. I said, I hope you didn't call them. Assuming it's not that, I don't care what numbers you have. They're not going to know.
Yeah. But I was wondering, could you play some music for me?
What would you
something
like?
Something that's going to be soothing.
What would you?
You know, I'm older.
I know.
I'm 86 years old now, and I like the old time people.
Maybe
Frank Sinatra, Nat King Cole, Bing Crosby. All those old timers.
Maybe
that would be soothing.
I'm thinking maybe some Jimmy Dorsey. How about some So Rare?
Okay, that's fine, too.
Okay. And I'll look for more. And it's going to be all right, Rita. It is going to be all right. And you'll get
you,
a handle
Raleigh.
On it. All right. Keep me posted. Thanks. Appreciate
okay.
it.
Okay. Thank
you. All right. So 888. I'm laughing about when that happened. 888-876-5593. And but there's no laughing matter when you do that. So please go through your wallet. If you're a woman, go through your purse. If you're a guy, your wallet, whatever. And just make copies. It's easy to do. And then when you get a new credit card, make a copy of it too. Obviously, you've got the statements and all that. So we don't need to have like front and back and all that, but just enough so that you know precisely what it is. All right. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh, Jimmy Dorsey and So Rare coming up on WGN Radio. Well, that's one that always makes me feel a little better. 1957 on Fraternity, Jimmy Dorsey and So Rare. And yeah, this is somewhat of an emergency for Rita, so we're going to move some bumpers around and we'll get her some Tony Bennett and some Frankie Lane. So that'll be the next two bring back. Hopefully good memory certainly does for me. So we will pick it up after the news. We've got Marty in Whiting. We've got, we're going to talk about Dave Hull. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And Clayton in Indianapolis. And there's room for you two coming up this half hour. We've got Brett in Master Control, John screening your calls. All I need now is you on WGN Radio.
I walk along the street of sorrow. Gigolo and Gigolette can take a kiss without regret, so they forget their broken dream. You laugh tonight and cry tomorrow when you behold your shattered schemes. Gigolo and Gigolette wake up to find their eyes are wet with tears that tell of broken dreams. Here is where you'll always find me, always walking up and down. But I left my soul behind me in an old cathedral town. The joy that you find here you borrow, you cannot keep it long, it seems. But Gigolo and Gigolette still sing a song and dance along the boulevard of broken dreams.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And Tony Bennett, 1950, a very young Tony Bennett, Boulevard of Broken Dreams. And that's for Rita. We've got one more coming up, too, and hopefully she'll feel better. And yeah, it's a hassle, no doubt about it. But once you get through doing all the particulars, if you've had a purse stolen or something like that, it's not the end of the world. Yeah. Even if you lose, some people used to carry pictures in their wallet. You know, they lose their wallet, they lose family pictures. And, that's always a loss. But again, you'll get over it. All right. So Marty in Whiting, welcome to WGN Radio.
Raleigh?
Yes.
Good evening.
Yes. What's up?
Young lady, I was so disheartened to hear Rita tell about getting ripped off.
Yeah.
Raleigh, my lifetime, two times somebody have stolen my wallet. So I know how it goes.
Oh, yeah. No, sadly, I think most of us have encountered that at some point in life, either having it stolen, which is bad, or losing it, which in some ways is equally bad because you still have to go through all of the rigmarole of replacing it. So that's why I say, hey, anybody who's listening to this who hasn't done it yet, take your wallet out and make a copy of every card in it.
Right. You are correct.
Yeah.
So, yes, but I want to call back to John. John, I'll call back next week. I was very depressed. You know, that she's 86 years old, and that happened to her. That should not happen to anybody, really, but...
But it does, sadly. And, you know, of course, it shouldn't. You're absolutely right. But the real key here is how you react to it. And, you're not going to change the fact of what happened, but you easily can make a plan, take it in stride, and not let it defeat you. You know, don't succumb to the problem. And that's no matter what anyone is facing. We're assuming it's not absolutely life-threatening and you're going tomorrow, but assuming we're not on that level, most everything else, if you step away from it and just look at it point by point, you can navigate it. And there may be a loss from time to time, sure. But when you look at it, it's rarely a catastrophic loss.
And, Rob, you hit the nail on the head. So let's get back to Dave Hall, because my brother, this question is not from me. It's from my brother in Ohio about Dave Hall.
Yeah.
When we lived in Encino, California, 1967, my brother was 14 years old, and Raleigh, I wrote all this down, was it KRLA?
Yeah, absolutely, 1110. He was one of the 1110 guys, of course, the 1110 men, I should say. Okay. Yes, of course.
And I guess Dave Hall had a nickname.
The Hullabalooer. It's Dave Hull, by the way, not Hall, H-U-L-L. And so, yeah, the Hullabalooer.
Oh, Hull, not Hall, but Hull.
Hull, yes, it's H-U-L-L, Dave Hull.
Okay.
And
well, my brother, he survived 10 days in intensive care when COVID.
Mm-hmm.
He still got the long COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when we lived in Encino. And how pronounce it again for me.
What, Hull? H-U-L-L, like the
no,
Hull of...
His nickname.
The Hullabalooer, because there was a television show also later, Hullabaloo, and it was just one of those phrases. So he was the Hullabalooer. And in fact, there's a book. It's older now, but it's still out there, I'm sure, you know, in terms of used copies or whatever. And I think it's actually called Hullabaloo, The Life and Adventures of Dave Hull. And so you can read all about it. And it's a wonderful read. Bob Eubanks did the foreword, and I recall this so well because it was really heartfelt, a little unlike Bob Eubanks normally. But he talked about the first day that Dave Hull was on KRLA, which was in June of 63. And Bob Eubanks was the guy before him, right? And so here comes the new guy into the studio. And so, in he comes, and he's got a cardboard box full of all sorts of sound effects and all sorts of items and all that. And, you know, Bob Eubanks is kind of shaking his head saying, gee, I wonder how long this is going to last. And so he drives out of the parking lot. He's listening to KRLA. And, you know, there's the hourly news, of course. And then a record that the hour opener, which is usually a big hit, comes on. And about 10 seconds into it, there's this terrible crash. It sounded like the building was demolished. And the hullabalooer says, "How do you like the show so far?" And that's how he started. And it was just great. And, you know, like all the guys who wanted to stay in L.A. didn't want to leave. And very few of them got to stay at the same station and all that. So Dave Hull was one who worked everywhere in town, you know, whether it was KGBS when it was a daytimer, or KISS or KMBC or KHJ or KIKF, you name it. He was there. But when he was on KMPC, he did this thing called Love Lines. And this is actually like 79. This is much later in his career. And he was as fast as anyone had ever seen. He, unlike the rest of the guys, he did work his own board. And he would balance like 10 calls at once and go back and forth. And it was hilarious to listen to him do this. And, you know, to this day, when describing people, I say, "Ooh, she's a medium chubette." You know, because that was a Dave Hull phrase. Or, yeah, "Ooh, muy más grande." And, you know, meanwhile, the people on hold didn't actually understand. They didn't get to hear what he was saying. And then you go to the next call, and it was just brilliant.
Well, Rod, I ask you a question. You was born in L.A.
Yes, I was.
Born in Encino.
Okay.
In 1967, were you still in California at the time?
No. At that moment in time, let's see, 66 North Carolina. Yes, Miami. I was in Miami in 67, back in Miami.
Okay. Well, another question then. My brother, again, he posed me two questions to ask you, Raleigh.
Okay.
And back in the day, remember 31 Baskin-Robbins, the flavors?
Yes.
Does this ring a bell? They named an ice cream after Dave Hull. Not Hall, but Hull.
Okay.
Do you know the name of the ice cream? Because my brother, he's like, Marty, that was a great ice cream. It was called Scuzzy. I wrote this down. Scuzzy.
Oh, interesting. All right.
Busky or Baskin and Robbins named a flavor after Dave. Scuzzy. My brother said, there was like a coconut, and he mentioned some other flavors, but said, okay, I'll make sure to call Raleigh. So.
All right. So what he wants the ingredients of Scuzzy?
No, he just wanted me to ask you. It's like, would you have known that the flavor of the ice cream?
Yeah, and well, by the way, it was, yeah, because this was, by the way, Dave Hull, again, H-U-L-L. They named it after Dave Hull, and I remember this because it had cherry pieces. And in fact, Dave Hull used to have little bands and stuff for the record hops, and one of his teen bands was the Scuzzies. And so that's why it was Scuzzy.
Are you sure it was named the Scuzzies?
Yeah, yeah, it was one of his bands, the Scuzzies, yeah.
No wonder that the Baskin Robbins named
yeah, right.
Ice cream flavor out of him.
Exactly. Scuzzies. Yeah, and you betcha. So that was Dave Hull and from KRLA at the time, you betcha, with the cherry pieces. I remember there was cherry in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Last time we talked about Encino and California,
oh, yeah.
My brother could not remember the name of that. Pink's? Is it Pink's?
Oh, Pink's, of course. Hot dogs, of course.
Well, my mom, way back in the day, used to work at, but anyways.
Your mother worked at Pink's? Wait a minute. Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's yeah, royalty of it itself. 50s, yeah.
Late 50s, maybe?
Yeah. 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 Oh, man. So right off of Melrose on North La Brea. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows Pink's. And, of course, one of the reasons you knew was it was open all night. And but it had been there since...
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, it was. And you'd stand outside, basically, in line. And it was it actually started like 1939. So it was a landmark by the time I was old enough to go there on my own. And, you know, you'd go there like at 3 in the morning, and there'd be celebrities and stuff who'd be standing in line. So it was kind of fun that way. And, you know, here it is. It's basically a hot dog stand, but they've got 40 menu combinations. So it was, you know, whether it was the chili or the hot dogs or whatever. And yeah, I guess the last time I was at Pink's was July of 1987. I don't know why, but one night Robert W. Morgan and I decided we were going to Pink's. And so we did. And that was the last time for me. And yeah.
Do you think that place is still around?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, there's no way that Pink's is not open. And there's also no way that they don't offer nationwide shipping at this point. You know, get the jalapeno dog or whatever you want. But they've been around forever, and I'm sure that there's a website for Pink's. And you can probably see pictures of, if not the stars, certainly all the hot dogs.
Okay. And Robbie, before we hang up, plenty of callers. Dave, not Hall, but Hall, because my brother got it wrong.
That's all right.
H-U-L-L. Did you ever meet Dave?
Oh, yes. I knew Dave Hall pretty well. Remember, I was radio editor for Billboard, so I knew most of these people. But I remember Dave Hall was such a sweet guy. I loved him. And he was a great hugger, too. Every time I'd see him, he'd hug me, and it'd be just wonderful. He was my favorite hugger, that's as far as it was. There was absolutely nothing else but that. But he was just always a delight and always funny. And sadly, by the time he died, he was working as a security guard in Palm Springs. Mm. So it wasn't pretty.
Okay.
Yep.
All righty. Well, young lady, I'll let you go. Thank you. Once again, thank you for the info.
Absolutely. And tell your brother that book is actually still a bit, you know, it's used, obviously, because it's like 25 years old now or whatever. But Hullabaloo, the life and something of L.A. legend Dave Hull, H-U-L-L. He can. It's probably a dollar now somewhere. So if he wants to read about him, he can.
Well, you know what? I will call him tomorrow. He's like, Marty, might not be tonight, but give Raleigh I'll call him tomorrow morning.
So. All right. Good deal. Thanks. Hope he feels better.
Okay.
All right. Okay, bye.
Bye.
So that's where we'll pick it up in moments. And, we got a full board of calls. This is wonderful. I love that. So Clayton and Mike and Brian and Fran, with a Y, Brian and Fran and Cindy. All right. And we'll say goodbye to Marty here. I'll release that line. And that will mean there's one, count them one, available for you, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. Oh, we're talking about radio again. You can bet on it. So I got to bring up the Sea Crane Company. Yeah. Oh, man. You know, I love all of their radios, but one of the absolutely most useful radio is their emergency radio because it will work no matter what. And so that's the thing about emergency radios. You'll have one and it's got batteries, but, you know, here's the emergency and where are the batteries? They're dead. Maybe it's got solar power. Yeah, well, right, but you didn't leave it out in the window. All right, and AC adapter, well, the power's out. So what do you do then? Well, in most cases, you just cry. But in this case, with Sea Crane's wind-up emergency radio, emphasis on wind-up, it's going to work no matter what. Firstly, it's got an oversized solar panel, so if you do leave it on a windowsill, you'll wind up with some, you know, great power with that. It has, of course, batteries, so if you've got fresh batteries, that's wonderful. And you can get an AC adapter, too, and that's nice. But all else fails, it's got a little crank on the back. You hand crank it for about 30 seconds. It plays for about 30 minutes, and it's got a built-in LED flashlight. So, yeah, this is what's going to save you in any emergency. And it doesn't look like some wind-up radio. You know, I've had some where, oh, my God. This looks great. It is a clean, modern digital design. It's white, about the size of a brick. And the sound is so good, it's got Bluetooth because you might want to use it as your Bluetooth speaker. It's that good. It's got 5 easy one-touch memories, superior reception, and you know that's the key to everything Bob Crane does, AM and FM, just reception that'll blow other radios out of the water. And it's got the weather band and weather alerts as well. So, what a deal, right? Go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Take a look at that CC Radio Solar with Bluetooth. Now, if you can't go online, give them a call. They'll answer all your questions. And yes, you can order by phone, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, ccradio.com, yeah, bookmark it, because not only great products, great information about radio, too. Now, after you've been there, if you're saying, but I want overnight shipping, well, all right, go to Amazon. But go to Sea Crane, if they've got it. Go to Sea Crane first, ccradio.com. Check out the CC Radio Solar with Bluetooth. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Up in the morning, out on the job, work like the devil for my pay. But that lucky old son got nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Show me that river, take me across, wash all my troubles away. Like that lucky old son, give me nothing to do but roll around heaven all day.
Right from the dawning through till the evening, nothing but slaving, and all the time I pray.
Weary, so weary.
Out in the morning, out on the job,
work like the devil for my pay. But that lucky old son got nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Fuss with my woman, toil for my kids, sweat till I'm wrinkled and gray.
While that lucky old son has nothing to do but roll around heaven all day.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and tell you something, that's Frankie Lane, That Lucky Old Son, 1949 on Mercury. And this is the key if you're a Frankie Lane fan, and I am. The key is to get the Mercury recordings, because he went to Columbia shortly off after that, and Mitch Miller redid them all, except he gave them soulectomies somehow. They're just not the same. So if you want the real stuff, man, get the Mercury. Yeah, 78. I know you're not going to go out and get a 78, but you'll find the Mercury sides on CDs now, I think, too, if you look.
And wash all my troubles away. Like that.
You ate your heart out, Mitch Miller. You couldn't have touched it no matter what. All right, so that's for Rita. And hopefully tomorrow will be a better day. All right, so 888-876-5593. Mike in Elmwood Park has a request. All right, Mike, what is it you want to hear?
How about Rockin' 88?
Oh, okay. All right. Ike Turner, but recording as Jackie Brenston. All right.
Yeah,
he never got over that.
Good Timing by Jimmy Jones.
Okay. All right. I like that, too. Okay. You betcha. All right.
I appreciate it. Raleigh, you got a good show tonight.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right. So let's see. Writing them both down, and hopefully I didn't actually type that on the list. I wrote it. We'll see if I can read it when it comes down to it. So let's see. We've got the news in a minute, and Brett will keep me honest. Not quite as much as Bob, who, man, 1 second over, I'm gone. Fran and Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. First of all, I wanted to say that I feel so bad for Rita, not only because there's one part of this that you unfortunately can't do anything about, and that is, you know, if you're a person with disabilities and you get somebody to help you, and I suspect it might have been the person who helped you that might have, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter who done it at this point, that yes, you're right, you know, you've got to take things one thing at a time and try to fix them. And not concentrate on, you know, the whodunits of it all.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that is it's hard if you have a disability anyway, and she's got multiple disabilities, and you know somebody offers help. When something like that happens to you, you don't know who you can trust.
Absolutely not. You're 100% right. And of course, you know, you think, you think it's your lucky day. And to be self-aware at that point that maybe this is somebody who's doing me harm. Hang on exactly where you are, because I want to get your advice on what to do about that coming up. So we'll continue with Fran right after the news on WGN Radio.
I'd like to thank the guy who wrote the song that made my baby. Oh,
the rhyme in the rhyme-a-lama-ding-dong. Who put the bop in the bop-shoo-bop-shoo-bop? Who put the dip in the dip 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 dip? Who was that man? I'd like to shake his hand. He made my baby fall in love with me.
Yeah.
When my baby heard
bop, 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 bop.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So there it is, Barry Mann, who put Bump, 1961. And that was Cindy in Chicago who had requested that. Also, we will get to Freddie Cannon. I know he died on Friday. Sad. It was brief. It was cancer. He was in a hospice in California. 89 years old. He would have been 90 in December. And certainly we'll play some Freddie Cannon. You betcha we will. But back to Fran. All right. So tell me.
Oh, first, I love that song. From the bottom of my boogity, boogity, boogity shoe.
Oh, I know. I do, too. And remember, these were adults when they were recording this. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I always wonder where they get all the syllables for some of those, like, whoop-shoop, whoop-shoop, ram-a-lang-a-jing-a-pop.
You're right. All of that.
Where'd that come from?
Unknown, but you're right. Now, I told you a while ago, and I still haven't found the reel-to-reel, but I've got an edit of like 6 minutes of nothing but nonsensical syllables, and I'll find it eventually.
Oh, that would be interesting to listen to.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress. Back to Rita's situation. I really don't. I mean. The only thing that cures that is time and being, and there are a lot of things that I could tell her to do next time to be a little more careful, like...
Yeah, let's go there. Tell me, you know, here you are, in that situation, someone offers to help. How do you protect yourself and get help at the same time?
I don't usually let anybody carry anything for me.
Okay.
Especially my purse.
Well,
if I get off the bus or if I'm going, carrying groceries, I have got my purse around my neck and I've got my hand on my purse. I was in the doctor's the other day and somebody said so I was going to go and get some lab work done. And it wasn't that far away. And she said, oh, you can leave your purse here. I said, no.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's no, I'm not leaving. You know, I'm taking it with me.
Right.
I usually won't let anybody carry things for me. I've developed over the years kind of a sixth sense about people. And if somebody is trying to be overly helpful and overly solicitous, I don't trust them.
Okay.
I've had things like that happen to me. I've had my wallet stolen. I've had money stolen from me. Gary and I have both had things stolen from us from people that we put up that didn't have any place to go or
right.
something like that. And you know, we learned to be a little bit tougher, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, you have to realize that if you have a disability, and especially if you're older, and I'm more of a target now than I was when I was young.
Right.
Even though I was blind when I was young, but I know that I'm more of a target now because I'm older and blind, and I sometimes have trouble walking. It comes and goes, but I just am very careful about what I will let people help me with, and I'm very careful about, I don't know, I just have a feeling about, I just get a feeling about somebody, and I follow it, because when I don't follow that, I've gotten myself in trouble.
Yeah, you're not alone there, but you've actually given me a piece of advice that I think is vital for Rita and anyone else in that situation, because, you know, she didn't lose certain things that were on her person, in her hoodie, that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. The kind of thing is get a shoulder bag that you can wear cross body and just have that across your body at all times so that you're not putting it down anywhere. And the likelihood of someone being able to rip off a cross body bag, while it's possible, is much less than the likelihood of it's just sitting there on the car seat.
Also, another thing I can suggest is the things that are important to you, do not leave them in an outside zipper compartment, because you think, well, I'll leave my medical cards and stuff out in the outside because then I can get to them quickly when they... No. You bury them in your purse, in the innermost recesses, and if it takes you a couple more minutes to get to them at the at the counter or whatever, so be it. It's not right there where they can just unzip it and take it out.
Agreed. Agreed.
And another thing that I try to do is I try to, one thing I'll put in my pocket, something else will be in my purse, it's not, so if they take anything from me, they're not going to take it all.
Right. Right.
And she reminds me yet again, and I keep procrastinating about this, and I got to stop that. Because I have a debit card, and I can't. I've had trouble, getting a credit card because I don't earn enough.
Yeah, that's what we've talked about, collateralized cards. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, and I know you told me about that, and I keep saying I'm going to do that, and I never, I've been procrastinating and so forth, and this is a wake up call for me, but.
And also your keys. That's the other thing. If you've got house keys on a chain or whatever, and by the way, you got your driver's license that has an address on it, you don't want those two things together easily stolen.
Right. Yeah. So, and my key doesn't have my address on it.
No, but your driver's license, well, not in your case, I know.
My ID card. Yeah.
Your ID card may. Now, in many states, you can use a post office box or something else on the card, and I always advise people, if they have that option in the state in which they live, take it. Do not put your street address on cards, but that depends on the state. In Arizona, you can do it. You can easily put a post office box or anything you want. They've got your address on file, but at least the card itself does not display it.
And I would suggest that even though her keys weren't stolen, she might want to change the locks.
Yeah, I don't know about her living situation or what that is, but it's never a bad idea, especially if over time you have lent your keys to people, to workers, whatever, to routinely change them.
Right. And I had my keys stolen one time, and I didn't realize that they had my address on.
Uh-huh.
And fortunately, I talked to a friend of mine, and she said, you get that lock changed. You go to the management right now and tell them your key. You lost your keys and you need the lock changed.
Yes.
And I did, and it turned out to be a good thing because it was a guy that I had broken up with who was threatening me and so forth.
Yeah.
And he was abusive when we were together, which was why we got, which is why I left him. But unfortunately, I thought I'd gotten my keys back from him.
Mm.
And I got keys back, but he had made copies.
Sure.
And but then I lost my key, and I thought, oh, no, you know,
mm-hmm.
what happened? And so it was kind of a thing that kind of happened all at once, and it's like, oops, you know. No, she's right. I get it. Cause, and I said, well, you know, he gave me my keys back.
No.
You don't
yeah.
know that.
Yeah.
You don't know that because he knew you were going to break up with him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Don't ever, if you've given your keys to anybody, don't assume they're not making a copy. I don't care who it is.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So that's another thing I never do is give my keys to anybody.
Yeah, and even if on the key, if it says do not duplicate it, believe me, it doesn't matter.
They can.
Yes,
oh, no, they
exactly.
can.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And
easy as can be.
Yeah, but there's no real way that I can say to handle that loss of trust. You just have to form kind of calluses to it over time and be very
aware,
very vigilant, very aware
yeah.
of what's going on around you, who's where, you know, that kind of thing. Like if I'm listening to music with my headphones on, but I'm in a public place, I don't put them loud. I take one off one ear.
Right. Right, to be vigilant about what's going on. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully she's, and hopefully a lot of people listening are going to go through their wallet tonight and do that. And the other thing is...
Yeah, I've got to figure out how to get that done.
Yeah.
I don't have a printer with a copier, but I'll find...
Oh, you'll find a way. Absolutely. And
yeah.
the other thing is, if you've done it, remember, you've got to every 6 months or so realize that things are going to change. And so, like, for instance, while we were talking, I got out my wallet, and I'm like, oh, God, my Medicare number changed. So, you know, I hadn't even thought about it. And so there again, I just made copies while we were speaking. And it behooves you to do this because it's a lifesaver when that happens. And unfortunately, for many people, it's when, not if.
Yeah. I have a close friend who's taken pictures of a lot of my cards
mm-hmm.
in case I lose them.
Good.
And she's got them on, you know, but then if somebody steals her stuff, you know.
Right, well, absolutely. Like if she's got it on a phone or something like that, yes, that's not real good.
You know, but I got to get off my rear and get some of this done because this reminds me very much that anything could happen. I mean, I'm watchful, but I really empathize. Yeah, I mean, I know that. Thing what she needs to do right now, and that's actually going to make her feel a little better.
Yes,
and make her have a little more feel more in control. Because right now, I'm sure I can understand she's feeling victimized. Well, she has been victimized.
Of course.
And you know, a lot of other things. And but the best thing to do is just deal with things one at a time.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Never look at the big picture any time in life.
Yeah.
There is no need to do that. Yes, and hopefully she'll get a crossbody bag because that's peace of mind, too, if you can do that.
Yeah. I mean, something like that happens. I get times when I get really overwhelmed.
Oh, of course.
And I just can't deal with anything. And I just let myself do that. I let myself cry. I let myself pound things. I let myself cuss and scream, you know, and do whatever I need to do. And then I have just, you know, okay, you've got to start dealing with this, friend. This happened. You can't change it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can change it, and it puts you back in control of your life.
Absolutely. And I'm for that, too, having pity parties when that happens. Sure. You yell, scream, throw things. You know, that's all fine. And then, you know, listen to the records that make you cry. And then after
right.
that, say, okay, time to get back to work now. So, yeah, I'm all for that.
And if you have time, I want to talk a little bit about Dave Hall.
Okay, go for it.
First of all, did you ever hear that song that some high school kids did?
Oh.
Dave Hall, the hullabaloo.
Yes.
Scuzzy, and that's what he called himself, a Scuzzy Ding Dong, something. I can't remember the whole phrase.
Yeah.
But that was where the Scuzzy thing came from. And I knew about the Scuzzy ice cream.
Right.
I knew about that. But he came, I used to go to the Foundation for the Junior Blind, and sometimes they would have the DJs or some local television people or, you know, some, you know, people come to our either Christmas party or whatever we had.
Yeah.
And he came, and he was just really, really nice. He didn't condescend to us, and I will never forget it as long as I live. I asked for his autograph, and he gave me his autograph, which I have since lost, but I still remember it. And he said, "To the girl with the beautiful smile."
Aww.
And then he told me also, he said, you have a beautiful smile. You keep that smile.
Aww.
And I will always remember him for that.
Yeah, he was absolutely a good guy. I couldn't find anything bad to say about him. And as I say, he knocked around on all those L.A. stations, and it wasn't always uphill. But, boy, when he was, like on a KRLA or a KMPC, he was just in his element.
Oh, yeah. Gary said he heard him because he used to go from Texas to California to visit me, mm-hmm. and he'd take the Greyhound bus. And so he used to hear him on some station in, where was that, Gary?
Palm Springs.
Right, like KWXY or one of those, yes.
Yeah, that was it, yeah, KWXY.
That was his last gig. And after that, like I say, then he became a security guard at the mall.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And
oh.
Before that, he had been living north of L.A., forget the name of the town, Fraser Park. There you go. I don't know why I remember that suddenly, where he was selling real estate for a while. So he was not above doing whatever it took to hang in there.
Right. Yeah. He seemed like that kind of guy.
Yeah.
He was just, I this sounds funny, but I get feelings from people by their hands.
Right.
Like, if I shake somebody's hand, kind of get a feeling of them, and he had the most genuine handshake, and just very warm person, and I'll always remember him telling me, you have a beautiful smile, keep that beautiful smile. And sometimes I think of that when I get really depressed, and I think, okay, I got to keep that beautiful smile.
Right. You're right. Absolutely. But you're right about, like I say, he was the best hugger ever. And handshaking and all that. He was just, one of those people. I won't say touchy-feely because that's not really it. But at the same time, you would. You'd come away really feeling like you knew him.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I was telling everybody, he said I had a beautiful smile.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
So, anyway, that's my Dave Hall story, and I have read that book.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's a good book. If you really, it's if you're especially if you know a lot about LA radio.
Yes.
It's a great book.
And it's hard to believe he's been gone since 2020, 6 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. John says shut up now because he's going to come in here with a whip. I can feel it. We'll talk to you later. Okay. Yeah, we'll pick it up right after this on WGN Radio.
Sister, radio, yeah, now early.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, now that's the late Frankie Freddie Cannon. Hate saying that. With Frank Slay, that's what I was thinking. Frank Slay actually wrote it and produced it. Yeah, Frank Slay and his New Orleans band, and that was 1961 on Swan. Yeah, while Freddie Cannon was riding high, which he actually did for most of his career. I gotta say, it's only recently that he had stopped performing. So died, as I mentioned, Friday in Oxnard, California, and it was a hospice situation, but a resident of Massachusetts, lifelong, and just terrific stuff. We'll talk about it more. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Brian with a Y in Florida. What's up tonight, Brian?
Hey, Raleigh, how on earth can you say Freddie Cannon without saying Freddie Boom Boom Cannon?
Because everybody else does.
Right. Yeah, that song about New Orleans was fantastic. And the theme song to Where the Action Is, Afternoons on ABC TV.
Yes, yes. Produced by your own Miami Steve Alamo.
I didn't realize that.
Yep.
But good to know that. A word of tribute to the stentorian-voiced David Jenkins in the WGN newsroom, because he's one of the few people amongst his broadcast colleagues who doesn't mispronounce the plural of index. He properly says...
Indices.
Indices. I wish Savannah Guthrie, a very literate woman herself and an attorney, I wish she would correct on the air, set Al Roker straight on that, because he never gets that right. Latin is important to uphold, even though we speak English. It may be a dead language, but it's worth knowing. That said, speaking of tributes, man alive, your counsel of the poor lady that had her lost her purse,
yeah.
It was touching to listen to. You know, I consider myself halfway decent as a broadcaster, but I couldn't do what you do. I could try it, but it just wouldn't work right. Perhaps because you're a woman. It isn't just your concern. Anybody can do that, or at least fake it. But what you do is you give them her and other people in various predicaments. You dole out very sound advice that is born of experience very often, quite clearly in your background, and it has the additional impact of inspiring listeners at home to similarly deal with circumstances that they have amongst their friends, families, and just people they meet on the street. So you're doing God's work, and as a militant agnostic, I don't even believe in God, but keep it up, Raleigh. Just last week you and I were talking about, I was making a spirited, I hope, defense of the old duck and cover cartoon.
Yes.
And lo and behold, just today on TCM, this morning, they re-aired it, the duck and go with Bert the turtle,
right?
And there's not just the animation, and he's a cute little character, well voiced, although they should have hired me to do the voiceover, but that's okay. It was a little before my time.
Yeah, it was in 1951. You weren't here.
yeah, well, I'm older than I sound, just like you're younger than you sound. I shouldn't say that. You sound fantastic, but anyway. Here's the point. It was darn near a serendipitous airing on TCM's part. I'd say that, except I never bother to look the word serendipity up, so I'm not going to say that, but I will say that it's some very good advice. Just like you dole out good advice, this PSA, and it's about 20 minutes long with all of the live-action footage, gives very good advice, not just for a thermonuclear attack, but how about for a hurricane?
It's actually on YouTube, so you can watch it. I think it's 15 minutes long, but you can watch it. The whole thing is there.
Yeah, the turtle is great. By the way, thank you so much for the Alan Freed clips from his nighttime show there in Cleveland back in the golden age. And I have to take issue with you. I heard you earlier describe him as a lame or a lackluster disc jockey. I was enthralled. I particularly was impressed with the rhythm in his voice. Again, I consider myself halfway well-spoken, and I could emulate what he was doing, but I couldn't replicate it, and I can't even pronounce replicate. I couldn't replicate it at all. I'm sure you could, but I couldn't, and I'm in awe of what I heard way back there from the 1950s, and I thank you for airing
all right.
it. One more thing, and this is a song. I don't have much information on it. I first heard it on a show hosted by somebody. You probably used to know this guy. He had an obscure show in Detroit, and I think also in Chicago, called Lost Gold, where he played a lot of flip sides,
okay.
Just like you do, and he also played songs that didn't crack the top 10 that were topping out at about 30 or 25. And he played this one song that, well, this is what I know about it. It was a soul singer about 1958, 59, mm-hmm. and it may have been a male in a falsetto voice, or it mm-hmm. may have been a female,
okay.
and the lyric, and perhaps part of the title, was My Reputation. He or she, got to be careful about pronouns these days, whichever it was, he or she was singing about a couple of incidents that had harmed the reputation, and it kept saying,
yeah,
my reputation.
It's Little Anthony.
Oh, it is Little Anthony. What about the Imperials? Were they in
on it? Yeah, absolutely, as far as that goes. And it's just called Reputation. And that was a huge Philly record. But let's see if this is exactly what you're thinking of.
She's got her reputation, yeah. A reputation that is known.
Is that it?
Oh, you betcha. You nailed it as usual.
Well, Teddy Randazzo wrote that, and it was the flip side of Hurt So Bad in 1965 on DCP.
Yeah, that was a bigger hit for sure.
Well, Reputation was not a hit, but there were some guys in Philadelphia. Who's the guy who was Saturday night? I'm trying to think of his name. Bob, I'll think of it, but he used to play it all the time on his show.
Who was the guy that hosted Lost Gold? I had him on my radio show in Detroit, the old Pontiac Insomniac show, midnight show there on WPON.
Oh, wow.
But I can't remember his name.
I can't either.
What the heck? Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, because this must have been later. This wasn't, you know, when these songs were out.
Oh, no. This guy was on the air with Lost Gold for about 5 years in the late 80s.
Wow. And if not,
yeah, I think his name was Johnny something. I mean, I could have asked him about Reputation when I had him on the show for an hour,
right?
But I plumb forgot, knucklehead that I am.
Oh well, it just didn't come to mind. But no, I don't think. Now it wasn't Johnny Holiday, I don't think, because he wouldn't have been Detroit. But
of course,
in the Twin Tundras, it'd be Johnny Canton, but it wasn't him. So
it might have been a Jimmy.
Okay. So I'm trying to think of who would have.
He was on Keener for a while.
Okay, all right. So I'm trying to think of who was on Keener, Bob Green and Gary Stevens and who? Lucky Keener 13. I'm trying to think of who their lineup was.
It shifted a lot, and you know they used to have a showcase studio down in the book. Building, which I think is still standing. It's decrepit as all get out there in downtown Detroit, but I think it's still standing. And they had a showcase studio right in the lobby there in their glory days. Did you know that?
Yes. Robin Seymour was there for a while. Swingin' Sweeney was there for a while. Even Jerry Goodwin was there for a while. You know, Bob Green, of course, a Miami guy, and Gary Stevens, notably, before he went to New York, and Jim Sanders. But there's probably more, but those are who were coming to mind off the top of my head. But Scotty Regan was there, and Scotty Regan was a big deal. In fact, I remember when Scotty Regan interviewed the Supremes when they were starting out, and Diana was still Diane. And it was hilarious. But in any event, they were a great station, but I can't think of anybody who was, still around later. I'd love to know what the show was.
Well, I never got to Detroit until 93. I was there from 93 to 98 when I went to Chicago to work in television. And I worked at WGN Television, as a matter of fact.
All right, Channel 9, of course.
Yeah, but in a different building. I never got inside the vaunted WGN Radio.
The Showcase Studios, yeah. Yeah, that was...
Anyway, always an honor to be part of your program.
Yeah,
so
I'm going to try to find more about this lost gold thing. You know,
because, you would have loved that show.
Yeah.
Even you would have heard some stuff that I bet.
Oh, I'm
new.
Sure. I'm sure. Well, it's like the guy who used to do overnights on WHAS in the latter 70s. From 2 to 3 a.m., he'd play stuff where occasionally I'd be like, what is that? So, yeah, there are guys who would do that, of course. All right. Well I will.
I'll look into the lost gold thing, too. I'll look into my archives and see if I can come up with a name for that.
Yeah, let me know. Let me know if you do. And if I come up with something, I'll shout it out on the air.
All right, continue the great show.
Thanks.
Over now.
Appreciate it. All right, so yeah, Oz is driving me crazy now. I want to know. All right, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, well, John says, shut up. I'll be back on WGN Radio. Was it Linda Rich? I don't know if it was Linda Rich Mark. Let me look that up. I had Billy Bob. That's surprising, but Billy Bob and Bourbonnais, so it says. All right, so there you have the Beach Boys, whether you want them or not. Okay, so this is interesting. We've got Chris in South Carolina, and we will absolutely get to Stan in Dearborn. He might know something about this oldie show. I wouldn't be surprised. And Cindy and Clayton and Mike. But Chris, all right, talk to me.
Hey, Raleigh, how's it going?
All right. I'm interested in your topic. You want to talk about the psychic lines of the 80s?
Yes, and, they were very popular back in the day, especially during the late nights.
Well,
you remember the preview channel?
Yeah, you understand why they became just huge after 1984, don't you?
No, I don't know.
Oh, well then, remember the breakup of AT&T? Well, and remember all of a sudden we got all these other phone companies like MCI and all that kind of stuff? Sprint, uh-huh. Telesphere, you know, there were a ton of them, right? Well, they were competitive, yeah. And they were always looking for revenue, of course. So what better than a revenue share where they would bill the 900 numbers directly to the customer's phone bill? All right, so they were making a fortune. And it wasn't just the psychic lines, it was... how shall we say, adult entertainment, things of that nature.
Yes.
Anything that had a 900 number, they would get like about 12% of the gross for billing it. And so it was a wonderful revenue share. And of course, the people who were calling didn't realize how many minutes they were going to be using. And I had friends who worked this industry. And I won't belabor what part. But what I will say is they got their bonuses when they could keep the caller on the line for protracted periods of time. That was actually easier to do on the psychic hotlines than it was on adult entertainment. But it could be done on adult entertainment, too, in any event. Eventually, this got huge to the point that the Federal Communications said, no, the local phone company cannot shut off your phone because you didn't pay for a 900 number. And so they got involved heavily. And there was a lot of fraud in this, too. I mean, a lot of fraud. So it became a thing where an MCI or whatever, a Sprint, would literally have to pay lawyers. And eventually it became more cost efficient to dump the service. And that was actually probably the late 90s. And AT&T pulled the billing completely from their system about 2002, around that. Without the billing infrastructure of the telecom companies, that ended the psychic hotline craze.
Yeah, so there's no more psychic commercials.
Well, they're not many. You still have some. You got a lot on the radio, and they buy overages type thing. Like California Psychics is a big one on the radio right now. John said to me the other, well, what's so special about California? I said, that's where the call center is. No, I don't know.
You remember the preview channel, right? Because they used to bombard them with psychic commercials during the late night hours.
Well, like yes, but those were PIs. Where they were getting a cut of the revenue as well. They were not paid to carry the commercials. They got a cut of the revenue, PI spots. That's still used today on many, many products, radio and television. So, of course, a channel like that, the preview channel is not going to be selling time. Who's going to buy time at night on that, you know? So, consequently, loaded up with PIs.
Yeah, it's them psychic commercials, PIs, like, the Psychic Readers Network, Psychic Friends
Network.
Well,
you know, I couldn't tell you how they work now. Of course, as this came to an end, that's about the time Miss Cleo got really big, which is yet...
Right, exactly.
We've ended the night. Thank you for bringing it up. It's a fun topic. I'll talk to you, not the night anyway, the hour. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Chris. All right, so we'll get to Stan, we'll get to Cindy, we'll get to Clayton, and hopefully you too, coming up on WGN Radio.
Won't you give your lady fair a little?
James. Let's go way down yonder to New Orleans. That's where Alex Chilton of the Box Tops was from. And, yeah, he was a huge Freddie Cannon fan. In fact, he had a picture of Freddie Cannon hanging on the wall of his home in New Orleans. And he was just absolutely big time. And he said, Freddie Cannon shows always worked because he moved through life with ease. Well, not sure about that, but certainly on stage did. 1959, and that, of course, on Swan. And Frank Slay and Bob Crew produced it, though they didn't write it. All right, one thing I was going to also say, if I'm on up against the news, about the psychic hotlines and all that, the reason that Chris mentioned the preview channel is that after they were doing the PIs and that with programming, they realized they could make more money doing infomercials, you know, sell it in blocks of time. And so for a while, it was the Psychic Friends Network and Miss Cleo on what seemed like a continuous loop at night right above the channel listing. So that's probably why he thought about that. But yeah, it was pretty awful. And of course, I think the parent company bought TV Guide magazine, and then there was the TV Guide channel, if you remember that. And then they had other celebrity news programming, and then digital sort of screwed that up, and there were Pop TV for a while. But that was Preview. That's VUE as opposed to VIEW, which was a subscription TV service. Just in case. All right, so now, with that in mind, let's see. Maybe Stan remembers that that Lost Gold show. So, Stan, let's see. Where's the magic twanger? Oh, there we go. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Yeah, I do know who hosted Lost Gold.
Who?
His name was Kevin O'Neill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's by the way, that's nothing like Jimmy or Johnny.
No.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. All right.
And then Keener turned into WNIC, and I think that's when he was on at WNIC.
Okay, all right.
And I think I was told that he still does the show on Wixie 1260 online.
Really? Now, the last I heard was he was working for Mitch Albom at JR. And I don't know what he was doing, but he was doing that. So, so you think he's on the Wixie deal, the online Wixie, obviously?
Yeah, I was told that. I never listened to it yet. I was just told that maybe about a month or 2 months
wow.
ago.
Wow. Okay. Here we are. He was a guest DJ. It says Wixie Superman Gary Winter hosts guest disc jockey Kevin O'Neill. Okay, so he was there at least for one episode. Boy, man, that was 10 years ago, though. My God.
He's supposed to be on Wednesdays from 8 to 11.
Yeah, okay, and here's something on Facebook. Now let's see what year this is before I say anything. God only. Oh, no, this is current. All right, so it says this Wednesday, that'd be tomorrow, I do believe, Ray King will be sitting in the air chair for Kevin O'Neill on Wixie. All right, well, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know if he does the Lost Gold show still, but I just heard he was on the air.
Wow.
And as far as reputation, I didn't think that was that rare of a Lost Gold song.
Well, it was a flip side. Anybody who had the record, if they turned it over, would have heard it. Yeah.
Well, I always played that on the car record player when it was out. And it was always heard on the All-Star Rhythm Review. That was our show. My wife used to play that all the time.
Okay.
It was highly requested on our show, too, in the mid-'80s and early 90s.
Okay. Now, yeah, I'm looking all at Kevin O'Neill here, trying to find out what's current. Last I knew he was on JR. That's the last I knew of him. But all right, so he grew up in Cleveland. He was a West Side boy. He was in Lakewood. But anyway, anyhow, that said, he listened faithfully to Wixie 1260. Well, how about that?
All right. Yeah, I heard he was from Ohio.
Yeah. That's so good. Now we know. I'm very glad you said that because I would have been looking for Jimmy or Johnny till I went blue in the face. This is great. Okay, so they call themselves the Internet's best oldie station. Sure, why not? Now let's. Anybody about us? Let's see. What about us? Bringing back the good time. Yeah, meet the team. All right. Let's see where Kevin is. Operations team. No, I don't see air personalities. That's what he would be. All right. Here he is. All right. Kevin's radio career began in 1970 when Freeze All Right Now became the first record he ever played on the radio at Notre Dame University's WSND. Four people heard it. No, it doesn't say that. All right. He went on Cleveland, Akron, Oberlin, back to Cleveland for the overnight show on WGAR. All right. I think Bob Gott used to do that. But anyway, later Kevin became part of Detroit, Michigan, is where he still works, still a part of the Mitch Albom Show, 5 to 7 p.m. weekdays, WJR. So, okay. He is there. All right. So I guess he is, you think he's Wednesdays? Is what it seems like.
That's what I heard.
Okay. Well, good.
Yeah, Wednesday, 8 to 11 Eastern time.
Okay. Yeah, what we need here is we need the full schedule. All right, yeah. Show me the schedule. All right, will you tell me here? I don't know. They're telling me the best oldie station. I believe it. You're telling me, no, you're not. Come on, let's have a lineup. This should be easy to find. I don't know who designs websites. I really don't. But,
yeah, some are good and some you can't follow it at all.
Well, right. What is in their minds? Exactly. So, of course, they know all about it, so they don't figure that the rest of us don't. But you would assume that they would have a lineup here so we could see when everybody was on. And they don't. Well, at least not that I found yet. But and again, anybody wants to hear it, of course, WIXY1260online.com.
Yeah, right. Well, so Brian could check that out.
Yeah, he sure could.
If he still wants it.
Right.
Wants to hear it.
Absolutely. There he is. Yeah, and they got pictures of everybody who ever worked at WIXY, including Jack Armstrong. All right.
Well, since I called you, I have you on the line. Last week, someone requested the Martha Navandellas. Oh, I know. We were talking to Johnny about Martha Navandellas.
Yeah.
And the Vells.
Yeah.
And they were the Delphys. J.J. Barnes had a record out called Won't You Let Me Know.
Oh, okay.
By J.J. Barnes and the Delphys on a cable label, and that was about 1960-61. And the Delphys were Martha Reeves and company. They later did an answer tune to that called I'll Let You Know.
Interesting.
By the Delphys.
Interesting.
And I believe that was on Checkmate. And my question to you was, do you know any other records on Checkmate? I mean, I've got a few records on Checkmate, but that was part of a Chess and Don Davis, or Billy Davis, with the Detroit. It was a Chess extension in Detroit, and they called it Checkmate.
Interesting. I didn't know that it was in Detroit.
I think it was stationed in Detroit.
Okay.
Billy Davis used to go back and forth from Chicago to Detroit. And I think in the early 60s is when he really got hired by Chess.
Okay.
And that's when he developed the Checkmate label.
Yeah, wait a minute. I do know what this is. It's Check-Mate.
Right. Yes.
Okay, I have seen this label.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got Ruben Bort on there and a couple different Detroit. But I was wondering, do you have a website that lists all the labels and what records were on that?
Oh, yeah. You can find 45 discographies all over the place. As far as that goes, it's not exact, but like Discos has a lot of them and Discogs, if you will. So does 45 Cat. There's a bunch of them. But I think the first Checkmate was Lamont Anthony. Just to be loved. And that was, of course, Lamont Dozier.
Yep.
Right. And then after that, Ty Hunter.
Ty Hunter from the Voicemasters.
Right,
yeah.
Right. David Ruffin. Lawrence Falcone and the Sounds. Here we have the Delphys. I'll Let You Know and It Takes Two. So there was the young Martha Reeves. And that was Checkmate 1005. And then I don't have all of them, but Checkmate 110 was David Ruffin and all that. Let me see if 45 Cat has a Checkmate discography. They may.
45
Cat.
C-A-T?
Yeah. 45.
45 the number or spelled out?
No, just the number. Let me, 45, let's see. And Global Dog also is another one. They have a lot of them. So, but here, 45 Cat, here we go, what they've got. Yeah, I've got it. I've got it. And also Global Dog has it. But yes, 7-inch singles. So like I mentioned, Lamont Anthony, which is Lamont Dozier, yep. Ty Hunter, David Ruffin, Lawrence Falcone, the Delphis, Paul London and the Capers in 1961, Ruby and Fort, 1962.
Yeah, Ruby and Fort. That's a really good song. You should try that one.
I'll do the best I can. Okay. I don't know if I
have. I think you'll like it.
Okay. I love hearing things I haven't heard, so I hope when I play it that I'll say, oh, I've never heard this. I'll do the best I can. All right. Dean and Mark, more David Ruffin, Dave and the Shadows, the Seminoles.
Oh, the Seminoles you'll like, too.
Yeah, them I'm aware. Alan Story, Ty Hunter, more Dave and the Shadows, Joey King. I think that takes care of it, because we're looking basically from August of 61 through December of 62.
Yeah, that's about it. It was only out about 9 months, I think.
Yeah, so that was it. So, yeah, 45 Cat has it, and as I say, Global Dog has it as well, so which may be easier to read sometimes. So, and Global Dog actually has a number of things that weren't released, I don't think. So, yeah, people I've flat out never heard of. Let's see.
Global Dog, one?
It's, yeah, globaldogproductions.net.
Productions.net.
But I think if you just do check-mate 45 discography Global Dog, it's going to come right up.
Oh, okay.
So those are the three: Discogs, Global Dog, and 45 Cat. Where you get, if you look at all three, you usually get the story.
Yeah.
Jim and Marianne Zender. Okay then. Mickey, Michelle, and Harry Dayner. Okay. Susie Mathias, Vi McDonald. Oh no, that sounds familiar. I don't know. All right, so yes, you can look at it. It's most interesting to see what they didn't release, but apparently recorded.
The Seminoles. Which one by the Seminoles?
Let me find that again. All right. Here we are. That's Checkmate 10-12, May of 1962. I Can't Stand It, and It Takes a Lot.
It Takes a Lot, yeah.
Yeah. So
that's right. I do have that.
You absolutely. So you have more than you thought. Isn't that always
that's
the way?
Nice.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, but
because
it
had a different design.
Right. It was. Checkmate. When you look at the Global Dog list, you're going to see a lot of Checkmate records where you get record numbers, but no release dates, because I don't think they were. You know,
I have that on a couple. Motown things too, where they were supposed to release a record at a certain number, and it was left blank.
Yeah, exactly. So, but there's a lot of it. You look at these names: Melinda Jenkins beats me.
Beats me too.
You're right, exactly. There's a Ruben Rodriguez. I'm sure he was very interesting. The Mathias sisters. So we had one of the Mathiases alone before. Now we've got them as sisters. Okay. So yeah, you can check out the list and tell me if there's anything you've heard.
Yeah, well, okay,
yeah.
And as far as Freddie Cannon is concerned,
yeah,
he had good choices there, New Orleans, and the other one he played, one of my favorites was Abigail Veacher.
Oh, my history teacher, yes, absolutely,
yeah.
Yes, with her XKE, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, and there's so many weird ones, too, like I was going to play Buzz Buzz a Diddle It, you know.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, my wife likes that one.
Yeah, so.
And Tallahassee Lassie.
Right, well, of course, those are the big hits, but they were huge for a minute there.
Yeah, he was a good entertainer.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, worked till almost his dying day. You know, so he was not one who faded away. He was still doing it. And his later stuff, like the dedication song, that was kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there were others like that were downright weird, like The Urge. Yeah, or If You Were a Rock and Roll Record, maybe we'll not play that.
I remember that one, man.
Yeah, right. Yeah, maybe we'll avoid that one.
Yeah.
But the dedication song was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah. So, but Abigail Beecher, one of your faves, because I'll play another one next, so you get to pick it out.
Abigail Beecher.
Okay. You will hear it. You will hear it next right here. Thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, have a great show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks. Now we know Kevin O'Neill. Yeah, that's a lot like Jimmy and Johnny. All right. All right. So 888-876-5593. And hopefully Brian with a Y will check out Wixie 1260 online. We will get to Cindy. We will get to Clayton. We will get to, I don't remember if we already talked to Mike. He's up there, but I'll try again. Obviously, if we did, he won't be there. Now, there's lines available for you if you want them. And, you know, I was opening the show with something close to nothing. But I thought we might talk about it. Yes, the recalls, the latest six recalls. Yeah, yeah, like that grill that had the pesky problem of blowing up mid-cooking. All right, all that and more coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 1964, and actually that wasn't Swan. It was Warner Brothers by then, but Frank Slay, still the producer, and Charlie Colello, who had been with the Four Seasons and later became a big-time producer at Columbia. He was the arranger on that as well. So it's interesting because now all the stuff has come out on CDs, well, long ago, obviously, and I think they have that on a CD with the Swan imprint. And I'm like, oh, wait, no, uh-uh. That 45 was decidedly on Warner Brothers, and so yes, it was red, and if it's in your collection, you'll recognize it. So so there. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, so let me find out if Mike is still hanging on. I thought we talked to him earlier. I hope we did, because it's been a while. So are you still there, Mike? No. Okay, good. I say okay, good, because I was pretty sure I talked to him at the start of the show, and I would hate for him to hang on for 2 hours, although Clayton almost has. Cindy in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yes.
I just went to you, and I just realized it is time for the news. Stay right there. We will do it right after the news, right here on WGN Radio. We'll be right back. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I have a feeling the guys had fun with that. Frank Slay and Bob Crew wrote that and produced it in Swan. Recco Art did the mastering. So more Freddie Cannon, sadly, because he's no longer with us. But he left us the music, which is going to have to do good enough for me. All right, so now back to Cindy, who we rudely interrupted for the news, but she's back.
Okay, well, I have a lot of things to say tonight. I only called to tell you that I was going to go to see The Odyssey, but then I called the library to find out the times, the showings in Norge for like a matinee. Mm-hmm. And then she's like over 3.5 hours long. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, I just can't, you know, even when I was younger, you know, I just never had much excitement in my life, and I can't listen to all that sensational for 3.5 hours. You know, it's probably end up 5 hours with the, what do they call them, trailers?
Okay.
Is that what they call them? The show, okay. Like an hour of like, it's ridiculous. But then anyhow, I missed what happened to Rita. Because I was listening to this, and I was going to offer her help. Because, just all these things that happened to her.
No,
but
it was very simple. Rita had her purse stolen today.
But by someone who helped her?
Yes, probably. But she does not know that. And so rather than try to figure out who took it, it was important that she just become proactive as tomorrow morning to start closing accounts.
Okay, yeah. And then I was like, well, she, you know, just, but I, you know, I would give John my full name, and Rita could call the Harwood Heights Police Department and tell them I was
She's already made a report.
No, but no, that I would be, you know, be on record that I would be giving a ride. I mean, she can have groceries delivered, can't she? I mean, I could just go, you know, just
don't,
if I were to
don't overthink this. Let's just let Rita settle this on her own and see what happens here.
Okay, but I mean, I could help her. I know the whole core of Norwich and Harwood Heights.
Yeah. Well, maybe it'll come to that, but for right now, she's got her work cut out for trying to trace down everything that was in that wallet so she notifies everybody.
Okay. You know, I was just saying that Harwood Heights would have a record of knowing that I'm helping her.
What we can do, what I can do is put you on hold with John, get your phone number, and then Rita in Harwood Heights, if you're listening, call, and if you'd like Cindy's number, we'll give it to you. And that way she can reach out to you off the air if she needs to.
I won't be driving in the evening from about 5 o'clock till the sun goes down, because the sun is so bad here, you could get in an accident.
Whatever, you guys can talk it out if she's interested. So sure, thanks for the offer, and I'll definitely have John get that number.
All right, and then the other thing I wanted to say, I have a lot of patience, and I'm a mild-mannered person, good-natured, but I'm tired of these narcissistic men calling on, saying, you know, like, oh, wrong, you're helping people, I could never do that. You know, what did they throw, grandma, you know, like, go to grandma's house for Thanksgiving.
We're not going to have callers critique other callers. Not going to happen. So change the subject or hang up. It's your choice.
Okay, well, I don't want to listen to the narcissism. Okay, thank you.
Well, same deal. Many people don't want to listen to you, Cindy. That's the problem. So we're not going to go ahead and start doing that. All right, hang on while I give you John. And I think it's great. I think it's great that every one of you calls. But, you know, listeners, they're going to like some callers. They're going to not like other callers. But we're not going to have a forum for critiquing them here. All right. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. There's one more break coming up and one more bumper to play. And I think we'll make the final one Freddie Cannon as well. Not sure what, but he certainly deserves it. Rest in peace, Freddie. On WGN Radio.
Don't touch that dial.
Oh, yeah!
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. 1966 on Warner Brothers, Freddie Cannon, the dedication song. Russ Reagan wrote that. Yes, label president and all that kind of stuff. He was president of Uni and launched with everybody from Elton John to, as far as bigger hits, Neil Diamond, because Neil had been around on Bang before that, of course. 20th Century, he revived that, if you remember, Barry White and all that kind of stuff. And much of it was with Motown for a while, as far as that goes. So, yeah, but he wrote it. So that's the deal. All right. And I think he was originally working with the Beach Boys or whatever. Before that, he'd been a disc jockey, R&B mostly, in, of all things, Boston. All right. So we got Stephanie in, Madison. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Stephanie.
Hey there, Raleigh. I just want to send out a psychic hug to Rita. You know, you are a strong, strong lady. You were dealing with it, having to deal with a cane, a messed up shoulder, but you're doing your laundry, and doing all this stuff. And, you know, 86 years old, I'm 76. You are a role model, and there are some definite role models that are in contact. And Raleigh, I love the way you handled by just talking step by step, modeling, staying focused, calm. I mean, I'm careful who I tell things to, because so, especially being blind, you get oh my God, you did blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you did this, you did that, you know, and that does not help.
No,
at all. You know, no. And you've got to feel, stuff happens, and it wasn't necessarily that you did anything wrong. We all make mistakes, or we're human, okay? We're just human. But the big thing is that you have to have trust and faith in yourself, okay? That's really important. Don't let anybody, you know, drag you down or undermine you, you know? And I'll just be thinking of you. I'll keep you in my thoughts and prayers. I love nurses. My daughter is a nurse. I wanted to be a nurse, but, you know, things happen with my vision. My grandson is in nursing school right now. I am, you know, I have other nurses and healthcare professionals in my family. So, lady, you are doing God's work, okay?
You bring up a real good point, Stephanie, and I really hadn't focused on it, but you're right, is you don't want an event like this to cause you to lose confidence in yourself. Absolutely what you're going to find is if you look at how you navigate this, you actually should build confidence, knowing that you can handle just about anything. But it would be easy to wallow in, you know, the idea of I can't do things anymore, I'm not confident and all that. Don't go there. So that's a real good point that I hadn't even thought about.
Yeah, you know, and also you deal with your feelings. One of the things I've learned is to not deny or fight my feelings, but it's how you handle them.
Right.
You know, it's how you handle them. It's totally understandable. I've been ripped off, and you feel so violated, you know. But you're right about not focusing on who did this to her. That'll make you go crazy.
Right.
That's almost a waste of time.
Right.
It is,
and you're not going to get that answer, and just understand that, and you just move forward.
That's right.
apart from that. You don't need to blame anybody. You just need to move forward, and
right.
She will.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, God will deal with them in the next life, you know.
They may be dealt in this life, you know, who knows. It works out the way it's supposed to. We don't know what another person's journey happens to be, but I don't believe it's just arbitrary.
I don't either. And also, I like the fact that accusing any, I mean, the person, color, race,
you can't go there. You just
really,
can't.
Really cannot. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And that'll shut down quicker than anything. And it's easy to blame someone who's different than you, but absolutely, there's no validity to that.
There isn't. Sometimes initially, when you're in a state of stress or shock, sometimes you go into old learning, but you got to stop it. You know. It's absolutely wrong. And it's so unfair.
And it doesn't do anything for you. The big thing is there's no advantage.
Exactly.
You don't gain from it. So, yeah, so we'll leave that where it is. And you know, from what I can tell, she doesn't have that much exposure. I do want her to close that bank account. But other than that, if she told me she had a debit card and an ATM card, I'd be like, oh, my dear God. But she doesn't.
I know.
So,
I'm trying to get my husband to get I don't use my debit card. Luckily, the bank manager a number of years ago helped me apply for a credit card, and my husband actually changed over to the company that I have. It's through our bank.
Uh-huh.
And that, especially being blind, it is a godsend to be able just to pay with your card.
Right.
You know, and just pay attention. And can I make a couple requests?
Absolutely. Let me get the sheet out rather than try to write this with handwriting that I can't read. Okay. What do we got?
All right. Image of a Girl by the Safaris.
Okay.
I love that song. This one, you know, I understand if you didn't want to play it, but June Valley, Apple Green.
Okay.
I love that song.
Right.
I know some people probably think it's, I love it. And then also Ray Charles, with Margie Hendrix, You Are My Sunshine.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. I love those songs, and that's enough for, you know, I don't want to overload you.
Excellent.
I've been wanting to call.
All right.
Yeah.
Glad you did. Thanks.
Oh, you bet. I'll call back, and you take good care of all of you guys.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
All right, you bet.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
So 888-876-5593. If you want the last word, though, I think the last word for you is going to come 21 hours from now, because we're going to talk to Clayton in Annapolis for a while. So, Clayton, welcome back to WGN Radio. What's happening tonight?
It's not entirely good news. The old people I used to live with, they found out what my situation is.
Good.
What my situation was.
And
to use my sister to get them to talk to me. And so I had to hang up on her.
Well, no, wait, I don't understand. The people that you used to live with, why?
Before I went to college.
Okay, and what was the problem of talking to them directly?
Because of what they put me through in the past, remember?
Okay, so how did this come about? Did your sister get involved? I'm not sure I'm following the trajectory here.
No, they seen, I guess, in past posts I made on social media about the situation.
All right.
Of how WATC was going to be relocating. That's my little station I run in Indianapolis. Mm. Well, I had to relocate my streaming deck and everything. And so I put a post on social media about that. And then they seen the comments on other posts that I made. And so they were like, what happened with your second grandma? Be honest with me. And I'm like, I honestly don't know. And then he's like, well, I know. I've seen your comments on Facebook. I'm like, that's when I'm like, okay, I gotta go and do something. And then he's like, no, you stay with me. And I'm like, nope. Followed by click.
Well, when you start to post something on social media, understand that the entire world will see it, including people you prefer don't see it. So you certainly have the right not to interact with individuals you don't want to interact with. So where does your sister come into this mix?
She called me and had them speak to me through her phone.
I see. So she was somewhat of the conduit.
Yes.
All right. Well, is this whole situation something you'd rather not discuss with your sister as well?
Well, at this point, no, because she straight up betrayed my trust.
Okay. So she was aware that your relationship with these individuals was not good?
She was aware of that, but she was like, well, they're taking care of you and all that stuff. Well, my question is, and he was saying that they were part of the family, that I was part of the family. And my question is, if I'm part of the family, and I should have asked him this, if I'm part of the family, why would you abuse me? Why would you put me through what I was put through and cause me to have all the health problems I have now as a result of it?
Yeah, I can't speak to any of this, of course. Give me an example of what he put you through.
Well, one of them, actually, there's examples I can give you. One of them was he misused the police against me multiple times, tried to get me committed somewhere, just because I had enough of him accusing me of stuff that I couldn't have possibly done. Then another example was he tried to get me put in jail for something that my brother did.
Okay.
So,
all right, so this is obviously dysfunctional. It was not physical, though, correct? He wasn't abusing you physically, was he?
He had threatened to.
Oh, that may be, but he didn't do it, right?
No, okay. Fortunately not. Right. Fortunately, well, I got out of there before it got to that point.
Well, it's obviously toxic, and it's obviously not doing you any good, so I would say don't dwell on it and just ignore the communication. If he writes back, you don't have to answer.
Right, and I'm like, what's the worst they can possibly do, really?
Well, they can't.
He's threatened legal stuff.
Well, why?
He's done all kinds of stuff.
I assume he claims he's doing this in your best interest?
If he was, he wouldn't be.
No, what I'm saying is that his rationale? Is that what he's claiming when he's saying, like, I'll have you committed? Does he really believe that you can't exist on your own? Look, I'm looking for his motivation.
I don't think that's his motivation. I think there's something worse behind it.
Well, then you understand that you want to cut that contact and not be involved with this individual.
Exactly.
And so you will.
I done blocked his number.
All right. And so, no, it's top of the hour. I know that. John comes in here sometimes a little too aggressively. Anyway, so deal is, actually, I just lost my entire train of thought. Thanks a lot. All right. So,
That's on me.
Yeah, no, it's not on you. It's not on you. John knows he's not supposed to do what he just did. I'm trying to think what I can say in 30 seconds here, other than to say that you're in charge of who is in your life. And unfortunately, if your sister is someone who is going to try to insinuate people you do not want in your life into it, then you're going to have to terminate contact with her as well. You are in charge of protecting yourself from forces that you don't, that are not doing you any good, period.
Exactly.
And so that's what you do.
Agree with you.
And then you move on. And so let's maybe talk tomorrow night. Let me know if anything's going on with some progress of what's going to happen after they kick you out of where you are.
Yeah, I'm going to be at a hotel. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to have an appointment tomorrow.
Good. Then call me tomorrow night and tell me about it.
All right.
Thanks. So, yeah, that's... Oh, man, that's pretty much it. We thank Brett for keeping us on the air. Couldn't have done it without him at Master Control. And we thank John for screening your calls, though not so much for driving me crazy. And I thank you for calling, because that's what makes the show a pleasure to do and easy. Now, we never got to the recall of the six products, so I promise you I will get to that at the start of the show tomorrow. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.
One-armed bandit plus Carlito's prey and card-craving crook. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 news, real stories, real fun. Luxury goods fellas, one-armed caper ganger, loco for Coco Chanel number jive as an amputee mobster's ordered to put his hand behind his back after the long arms of the law landed him for larceny in a boffo burglary that bagged close to $2 million in Chanel swag in NYC 2 years ago, according to the New York Post. No arm, no prowl, as Strife and Limb allegedly directed the daring deal from a van parked outside Chanel while 10 teammates pinched their plunder in 3 hours. Boss man out on bail, henchman still at large. Jersey Score, the gangster that couldn't go straight, say state police in Jersey who busted a local councilman on loan sharking and extortion charges, a former mafia hitman who claimed he'd cleaned up his whack. Cops raided his pad and say they found baseball bats, brass knuckles, switchblades, and knives. Lawmen claim loan fee soprano talked about gutting people like fish if they didn't pay up. Will debt shorty run for re-election? Pokey Saw Perp. A Florida fellow allegedly fired up a buzzing battery-powered chainsaw, sliced through a storm-strength storefront, and pocketed a prized pile of Pokemon cards worth $12,000. Palm Beach detectives say the card-craving crook left behind a bloody breadcrumb trail while cameras, computers, and license plate clues closed the case. Turns out the rarest collectible in the shop was common sense. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.